Welcome back to Coastal Connection. I'm Brian Russo. Coming up later in the program, we'll look at the effort to restore the oyster population here in our local waterways. We'll go out on the water with two young men who are currently the lone oyster farmers in the Maryland coastal bays. But first, we continue our look at the proposed minimum wage increase in Maryland. You'll be hearing a lot of debate in Annapolis about the meaning of a living wage in today's society. And while determining a definitive dollar amount may be difficult, many opponents of the proposal will concede that the current minimum wage of $7.25 an hour is not a livable salary in 2014. Opponents say that minimum wage jobs were never designed to be careers. And while that may be true, the reality is that 88% of people holding minimum wage jobs nationwide are adults, and almost 30% are raising children on that income. In 2012, the Bureau of Labor Statistics says about 5% of the Maryland workforce, or about 67,000 of the 1.3 million workers in the state, earned the minimum wage. My next guest is one of those people. Her name is Christina, and she's a single mom of two teenagers who are battling mental health issues. I asked Christina to describe how she fights for financial survival each and every day.
I work two jobs. I work 16-hour days. I'm a single mom of two kids, I get child support for one and not the other. I have rent, electric, car insurance, car payment. This cold spell made for unexpected expenses. I get no food stamps or anything, so everything is on me.
Tell me about each month when you sit down at the table to pay the bills. Does the income that you're making for those two jobs cover all the expenses that you have?
No.
Does it even get close?
No. I'm continuously on a, 30-day behind schedule on the electric, because one month I'll pay one bill, next month I'll pay the bill that didn't get paid the month before. We probably go through $500 a month in groceries, rent $750, car payments $200, car insurance is $100 a month.
How long have you been going at this clip where you've had two jobs and working as much as you do and literally sort of walking that line of either making ends meet or not? I mean, how long has it been?
I mean, I've struggled for years, but I've been working the two jobs now since probably in June or July. I chose to get another job because at the time I had lost the child support that I was getting for one of my children, which meant I was getting no child support at all. Right. I mean, I've always struggled. Minimum wage jobs, I mean, even at 30 hours, it's roughly $280 a week. Mm-hmm. That's what you gross. That's not what you bring home.
Right. I've spoken with some people around the shore who make a similar wage as you, and they say that since the Affordable Care Act has gone into play, that many employers are scaling back hours so the employees don't have to be under that umbrella of being insured. Has that been a similar experience for you?
Yes. The employer won't work you, most of them, as long as they keep you under 32 hours. They don't have to give you the insurance, so that's where you sit.
So do you have insurance currently?
No.
I know one of your children struggles with some health issues. Tell me about those.
My daughter, she has a mental health illness. Actually, both my children do. Fortunately enough, I switched her therapist to a therapist that's school-based, so I don't have to have the extra gas expense of getting her back and forth every week. She's able to just see the therapist there.
There's been conversations in, this legislative session about a hike in minimum wage. What's been talked about and a number that's been thrown around is from $7.25 up to $10.10. How much of an impact would that make if that was raised essentially $3 an hour?
It would be a huge impact. If you have the extra money, you know, you're going to be able to provide the extra things that, you know, you and your kids need. Yeah. You might be able to buy a shirt that's not on the clearance rack. Or, you know, that loaf of bread that's, you know, been marked down.
On the flip side of that, while, you know, on the front end, it may seem that any hike in pay would be helpful to people who are making that wage, you know, you talk to employers and they say that if minimum wage is raised, that they may have to look at their proverbial bottom lines because their payrolls are going to go up quite substantially. Do you fear that if this hike goes into play, that your hours will be cut additionally, just like you saw when healthcare went into play?
I mean, it's a concern, but they can't afford to live on what we make now.
You hear a lot of people talking about what is a living wage. And how would you define a living wage? And do you think that many people on the shore earn a living wage, enough to get by and have maybe a little bit left over?
No, we don't make a living wage. You know, you're working a minimum wage job. You're grossing roughly $280 a week. Taxes come out of that. Let's say you have three kids. You have two girls and a boy, per se. You need a three-bedroom house. Rent, $750, $850, $1,500. Mm-hmm. Who can afford that?
Yeah. You know, you hear a lot of people say, well, if you're working a minimum wage job, you should just go back to school and get education so you can get a better job. But, you know, if you really think that through, if you, you know, have kids like you do, and kids are expensive, I have kids of my own, you know, and you're walking that line and you're just trying to get by from month to month, there is no money to put aside to go take classes. I mean, is it such a struggle from day to day, week to week, month to month? How far ahead can you actually plan? I mean, can you make long-term goals for yourself and your kids and your family?
It's kind of hard when you have to work two jobs to go back to school. When do you have the time?
Yeah. You know, you hear that question all the time of, you know, what do you want to be doing in 5 years? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Have you even thought that far ahead because, you know, of how hard it's been?
In 5 years, my kids will be grown and I will no longer be responsible for them. They can get a job and then I can go back to school.
Yeah. What do you want to do when you go back to school?
I want to get my nursing degree.
Megan Callahan is a supervisor with Maryland Choices. She works with Christina and her children and says she hears stories like theirs all the time.
We work with about 90 families on the shore right now, and each one of them has the same struggle. And that's just the ones that we work with. When you talk with them, and they have family members that are in the same situation. So it's everywhere.
Tell me about the additional struggles that it adds when you have a family that's working minimum wage or earning minimum wage, and they have a child that's battling mental issues. Tell me about not only the financial struggle that puts on the family, but also, you know, the psychological struggle that puts on a family.
It has a huge impact on them. A lot of these families lose jobs. Mm-hmm. Working at Taco Bell because they're constantly getting phone calls that they have to come get their kid from school. And then there's disruption at the home. One kid might have a mental health diagnosis, but one doesn't. So that kid is tearing up the house and destroying everything. And sometimes it seems unfair because we come in and try to help, and then the other kids who were doing so well feel like they're not getting the right attention, and the one who was bad is getting all the attention. So it does put a huge strain on the family stress. Most of the families we work for are single parents. Mm-hmm. They're not married. The mental health and the stress of just dealing with the kids has separated them.
When we talk about mental health issues, you know, I think there's a certain connotation or a certain picture that people get in their minds. But explain to me what all falls under the term mental health issues and what's under the umbrella of what your organization works with.
We work with kids who have a simple diagnosis of ADHD. It causes them to have behaviors at home and at school. All the way up to very severe ones, like schizophrenia with a 13-year-old. So we work under any diagnosis, as long as it's on an Axis 1, which is the most severe, then we will work with them.
Yeah. Tell me about when you go in and meet a family. Where do you start?
We really start with their story. You know, when did you notice that things started happening? What worked well for you? What didn't work well for you? So that we can build on the strengths that they already have as a family to kind of empower them to take back their own lives. So they don't have all the involvement with DSS or DJS and all the state agencies.
Do you find that the financial struggles of just getting by in some cases may inhibit progress with the children, you know, trying to get help and turn a corner with whatever they're facing?
Absolutely. You know, if they're working a minimum wage job, they can't always get a car. So then transportation becomes an issue. So we try to help out in ways that we can. Maybe we are paying for them to get on a taxi for a month or so that they can save instead of them paying for it to get a car. But the financial burden has a huge impact on all of it. And, you know, sometimes we have some funds that we can use for families. So if we know that there's a huge financial burden, that we can try to help them out as well so that they're at a starting point where they can maybe make goals for the next couple of months and get ahead so that they're not always behind the ball.
When you met Christine, what were some of the things that you guys worked on to not only have progress for her kids, but also for her?
You know, as a single mom, she was completely stressed out. And, you know, setting up boundaries, and we set up a chore list for the kids, and we used incentives to try to help them buy into it, to help out mom around the house. And then mom needs a break. So we also sent her to Ocean City for a weekend, all by herself, so she could lay in bed and take a bubble bath and refocus herself so that she wasn't always on edge. Mm. And, you know, she realized that it was something that she could probably do for herself once a year if she saved. So she saw the bigger picture with that. And I think when she came back from that, it was a better environment in the house, at least for a little while.
Yeah. Tell me how that plan worked, Christine. You know, did it make an immediate impact? You know, the less stress around the house, you know, less yelling, less, you know, everybody being, feeling like they need to retreat to their own corners. Tell me about how it worked on the front end.
It was a fabulous experience. It was time for me to get away, regroup, come up with a plan, you know, have that time to myself. Mm-hmm. Had it not been for them, it's not something that I would have been able to afford at the moment, and I'm forever grateful to them for it, because for several months after that, there were less arguments. You know, the household wasn't as hostile because I wasn't as stressed.
Yeah. I think a lot of parents sometimes, especially with kids, you know, preteen, even from toddler up actually, you know, you get this feeling of guilt because you want to give your kids the world, but sometimes you can't provide them the world that you want to give them, or you don't live in the world that you want to give them. Do you struggle with feelings of guilt?
Of course.
How do you work through those? I mean, have you essentially...
You never completely work through it. Yeah. Because you can't provide everything that they, you know, want and or need. I mean, granted, my kids don't do without food. They don't do without clothes. I do without, but I don't make my kids suffer because I can't completely provide everything that needs to be provided.
When you had that time to yourself and you went on a night to Ocean City, when was the last time you had done that? And how did it feel?
I've never done it, and it felt great.
Megan, let's talk about what a living wage is here on the shore. You are all over the Eastern Shore and working with families who have a similar story of what Christine does. Is there a way to quantify a living wage for people, you know, that have different struggles or different needs or, you know, just different sizes of family? I mean, when I ask that question to people, most people just say, well, it's not a living wage right now. I don't know what it should be, but it's definitely not there now. What do you think?
Well, and I agree with them. It's not a living wage. And I don't know how much it would take. I mean, even with me, I mean, I have 2 degrees. And there was a time when I was making $30,000. And that at this level, that's poverty. I qualified for medical assistance and everything like that. So I had the degrees, I had the education, and I was no different than a Christina, or, you know, I was a single mom and going out there and doing everything. So I don't know. It all depends on family size, and, you know, what works for one person is not going to work for another.
When you're looking at how things are, you know, sometimes you speak with seasonal workers who make a good bit of money in the summertime, and they sort of, you know, store their nuts in the log and live off that for the winter. And, you know, even when they're, you know, many people have to collect unemployment through the winter months, but they're waiting, they have that promise of the summer coming back around, they're going to make more money. For folks I've talked to on the shore that work these minimum wage jobs, there's never any upswing in that cycle. It's just sort of that same slog of getting through it. Do you ever feel like you can't keep up that pace?
You never feel like you're getting ahead. You always feel like you're lagging behind and you just can't get anywhere. There are days that I come home from one job. I look at my kids. How was your day? Did you learn anything in school today? Throw on my uniform for the next job, and I'm gone.
Are you hopeful that things will get better? I mean, is that what keeps you going, is faith and hope? Or is it just put your head down and keep going?
I just put my head down, I keep on going, and I do what I have to do.
Yeah. What do you hope for your kids?
My hope is that, you know, they're both able to graduate, go to college, and get a decent paying job.
You hear people talking all the time that, you know, sometimes they feel like they don't have the options to better their situation. And what we've been talking about here is a lot of people feel very trapped. Do you feel trapped? Or do you feel like if you keep pushing, you keep working, that sunny days are sort of ahead and you'll get there?
I have to have the faith in myself, and I have to have the determination within myself to get myself untrapped. I've overcome a lot of obstacles in the last year and a half, so I know that eventually, it might not be now, it might not be next week, it might not be next year, but I'll get there eventually.
That was Christina, an Eastern Shore mother who talked with us this week about trying to survive on two minimum wage jobs. We also spoke with Megan Callahan, a supervisor with Maryland Choices. We've got more reporting on the minimum wage debate at our website, wamucoast.org. And we'd like to know how you think a minimum wage hike would affect workers and businesses in our region. You can reach us at coastal@wamu.org. I'm Brian Russo, and you're listening to Coastal Connection here on 88.3 in Ocean City and 88.5 in Washington. We'll be right back.